The scripture reading this morning is in Nehemiah, chapter 10, verse 28 to 30. Now the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the Nethinim, and all those who had separated themselves from the peoples of the lands to the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone who had knowledge and understanding, these joined with their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God and his ordinances and his statutes. We would not give our daughters as wives to the peoples of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons.
May be seated.
Thank you, Jim. Well, my last message was on race mixing. And by the way, the title of today's message is Race Mixing is Not Christian. My last message was on race mixing from the perspective of Jewish duplicity and the Talmudic designs to eradicate our race. Well, today I'd like to address the subject of race mixing from a biblical perspective. Christian identity has restored one of the most prevalent issues found in the Word of God, and that is the subject of race. However, in an attempt to bring forward the righteous corrections of faulty teachings, it is somewhat like revisionist historians dealing with the Holocaust industry. Christian identity does not enjoy the glut monopoly of merchandising information, as does the establishment religions and media. Although we do have the gift of discernment and an unwavering love of the truth, wherever it may lead, what we have been told about race in the Bible has been an unmitigated fraud to destroy us. What the Bible actually says about race will preserve us. We're kind of like David standing up against Goliath, having a wealth of encyclopedic facts to sanction the mixing of the races. Well, this has been accomplished over a long period of time by contaminating the historical record and the Bible itself with disinformation. I've been called to task recently to prove the Christian identity truth, and it's a truth, it's not a theory like evolution, and I'll do so from the Word of God, the law of God. Now, a law is like the law of gravity. It's not just a good idea or suggestion. It's an established foundation, absolute and infallible. Hence, the foundations of creation and the purpose for which we are here become all important. I've been challenged to stand and deliver, not from the Judeo-Christian crowd, but from the anti-Christian racialist, the white nationalist movement. I would preface racialist by saying alleged, because this is from the internet, and anybody can be anonymous on the internet. So the issue of whether race mixing is advocated or prohibited in the Bible was prompted by a message I gave about why some people just don't get it. The it being the identity of the white race in relation to the Bible. But we live in a time when there's an increase in information, fulfilling Daniel's prophecy, in my opinion. And people can choose what they want to believe from so many sources that the average person They can't read it all in their lifetime. So they depend on the marketplace of ideas. And the internet's a perfect place for that. And what makes sense to them? What's common sense? Preconceived notions and intellectual prejudices will always color what people select as their truth. This then becomes a reflection of what they are in life and what they give or take from their own race. So putting forth the premise that race mixing is not Christian automatically prompts cries of foul from all quarters. But the division is basically two sides. When the Bible says, prove all things, it is quickly followed by the admonition to hold on to the good. Now in the eternal war of words, we are warned that some people will turn good into evil and evil into good. If someone chooses to not only ignore the Bible, but to misrepresent it, it then becomes a matter of changing the truth of God into a lie. Well, who could possibly do that? It would be those who have made the wrong choice and have selected proof that is not good. For example, the Jewish Holocaust is riddled with false proof, and yet some people accept it as fact. This produces evil consequences. If we reject and distort what the Bible has to say about race mixing, we likewise will suffer evil upon our society. And that's exactly what's happened to our nation. The battle between good and evil determines blessings or curses. In seeking to determine what the Bible teaches, it is necessary to start at the beginning. Nobody can squirm around the basic premise of Adam and Eve being of the same race. I don't know of any versions that say they were the first two Orientals or the first two Negroes. History depicts them as white. And Christian identity further identifies them by rightly dividing the word of Adam, which means man. Strong's Concordance elaborates on this kind of man, Numbers 119 and 120, being ruddy, to show blood in the face, that is, to blush or turn rosy. From Thomas O'Brien's book, Verboten, we glean from his commentary that, quote, even the ability to blush, in other words, show blood in the face, is confined to the white race. This is caused by your subconscious, which only God controls, as he breathed his living spirit into Adam, who passed it on to you, his white descendants. You are an infinitesimal projection of your Creator. So when you do or say something embarrassing, your subconscious rushes blood to your face. The colored races, not having been endowed with God's Spirit, have no abstract sense of right or wrong, and consequently are never embarrassed. End quote. So it's a misnomer to call other races or species mankind. In the book of Genesis, God's law of kind after kind was established, meaning species or race. The Bible we have in our hands today repeatedly teaches about seed after its own kind, in which each and every species of plants and animals propagates within their own kind. In the case of Adam kind, it is clearly the white race. The Bible interprets itself by declaring that this is the book of the generations of Adam, Genesis 5:1. Now, generations means the genetic posterity. Let me give you a thumbnail sketch of the rest of Genesis as it pertains to race mixing. Obviously, there were other races, as we read about the first case of Adam's seed being polluted with Cain, a cursed murderer of his brother who was purged from Eden and moved east of Eden, which would have been in and among the Mongolian people, to a non-Adamic land with non-Adamites, producing the first mongrel offspring named Enoch. From the time of Adam and Eve to the time of Noah, race mixing became epidemic, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now, this sin of race mixing is so serious that God kills the offenders with a great flood. However, there was one man and his family that found grace in the eyes of the Lord, who was perfect in his generations. In other words, he was racially pure. The result of all this race mixing was corruption and violence. The narrative establishes a paramount theme that runs throughout the Bible. Race mixing is not Christian. There are indeed two manners of people in the world, those who remain racially pure and those who don't. The problem again arises with the twin boys Jacob and Esau, fulfilling their separate destinies from the time of their birth. And history also shows that whenever these people sought to integrate and intermarry, the results were always the same: violence, confusion, and judgment from God. On the other hand, when they lived separately, as God ordered, each respectively lived in harmony apart from each other. History also shows that whenever the racially pure offspring of Jacob failed to assume their God-mandated office of taking dominion and administering God's laws, and have allowed the offspring of Esau to occupy and determine the law of the land, there's been nothing but trouble, chaos, and God's judgment. Destruction of white Christian civilization is the primary purpose of the Jewish drive towards racial amalgamation. They know that it's always been white Christian society that has proclaimed liberty throughout the land and are the custodians of freedom. So in order to control the world, this element of God's Spirit must go to the grave in various forms of genocide. Historians and social engineers know that a mongrelized people are easier to control because they have been developing a deformed spirit and not having any identity. These destroyers of mankind know that every white civilization, and there have been some 25 of these in 60 centuries of recorded history, which has practiced race mixing, have destroyed themselves from within. You want to talk about fairy tales? There has never been a great black civilization in Africa, and mongrels have never been able to rule their subjects justly. South Africa enjoyed white Christian apartheid until its Christian faith was undermined by Antichrist distortions of the Word of God. It is now the murder capital of the world. Esau would corrupt his racial line by marrying into another race, which was strictly forbidden. He took a wife of the Hittites, which was a grief of mind to his parents. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, "Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan." Now this command, not to marry into another race, was the same one given by Abraham concerning Isaac, where he told his son to find his wife in his country and among his kindred, his own kind. Deuteronomy 32:8 clearly states that God separated the races. When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds or the border lines of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. The white race at that time had their land, and other races had theirs. Now, this verse tells us that there was a specific number of white Adamic Israelites to be born in order to fulfill the plan of God. How can any white nationalist racist or racialist complain about this kind of orderly separation? Throughout Scripture, we find that God's order in every realm has always been separation, selection, and discrimination, while the enemies of God and the white race have always been integration, equality, and tolerance. Well, the surest way to prevent white people from achieving their manifest destiny is to prevent them from reproducing their own kind. The strategy of our enemy is to mix the races and produce what the Bible calls bastards. The Hebrew word for bastard is mamzer, and it means a mongrel or half-breed. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, Deuteronomy 23:2. Churches are full of smiling mamzers who are told the Bible says to mix. This is the propaganda we struggle against today from those who misrepresent the Word of God, and falsely identify God's people, who God's people are marrying in the Bible to justify race mixing. They do not have the Spirit of God, in which our body, the temple of God, facilitates the indwelling of His Spirit. So without a Spirit-filled race, there is no possibility of white people fulfilling our purpose on earth. Fornication, which is race mixing, adulterates God's plan for the ages. God does not dwell in a racially adulterated habitation. If you remove Christianity from the world, you remove God's law prohibiting race mixing. And then alleged white men regurgitate this disinformation to trash Christianity as a whole. Are they without the intellectual integrity to take advantage of understanding the holy racial Bible of Adam kind with the above mentioned clues of our ancient people doing good or evil to determine the racial identity with whom they are married? Their arguments can go on forever, like a Jewish lawyer. They usually take something so obscure in nature that it is easily distorted and passed off as fact. Now, unless a Christian man is well acquainted with this technique, they will be chasing down rabbit trails that do not persuade the antagonist in the long run. That's why I'm presenting a holistic picture of race mixing from a Christian identity perspective that even a school child can understand. Now, some people are too smart for their own good, and it makes no difference whether you prove anything or not. They just don't get it. There's the possibility that they have family secrets buried in the woodpile, their family tree, that cancels the Spirit, and therefore they cannot be of God, and hence their antipathy towards the divine. There's the usual litany of case histories which advocates of race mixing throw into the pot. Let us recall that Paul said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures may have hope. In other words, we can learn the truth about racial questions from the Old Testament. No Christian who is at all familiar with the Old Testament would or could be in favor of racial intermarriage because it is forbidden and condemned in the strongest possible words. When the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Their daughter shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for thou art an holy people, meaning a racially pure people. But we have a war of words between white Christians and a mongrelized Judeo-churchianity, and centuries of distorting the Word of God to imply a religion of universalism and inclusion that fits nicely into the new world order of Jewish communism. The Antichrist racialist should stop and think about that for a moment before they start talking about Jewish fairy tales, not only for their own sakes, but for the implications of our racial survival. Do we fail to recognize the perversion of racially adulterated churches and doctrines that sustain us? Or do we take the racial consciousness, the spirit of Christian identity, and discern good from bad racial issues based on the principles of God's racial laws? Now, race mixing is equal to racial extermination. The race war against white people is waged primarily by the most mongrelized people on the face of the earth, Jews. For 2,000 years, they have been devising slow and fast, direct and indirect ways of death for our race. When those of our own kind willingly or unwittingly do the work of the Jew by adulterating all knowledge of Jesus Christ and his word of racial salvation, they become twice the child of hell than the scribes, the media whores, and the Pharisees, the pulpit pimps. By eliminating Christianity, so too must the true Israel manifested in the white race be removed from their devilish dream of a Pax Judaica, a world run by Jews. Please be patient hearing or reading this message, anticipating an address to the Bible trivia questions in a pseudo-college debate with anonymous internet experts, spelling God with a small g. The explanations are secondary if we first don't understand biblical principles. If we were just to rattle off a pure Christian identity response, it would be no different than tossing costly pearls into the mud pit of oinking pigs. The Bible says don't do that, or they'll just snort and they'll try to rip your leg off. Well, the word also says be wise as serpents. And I think that means be as cunning as your enemy. I've read that the Simon Wiesenthal Center has a staff of some 80 full-time rabbis monitoring hate groups on the internet and working their sorceries on Christian forums. For all I know, I'm not dealing with some punk 20 or 30-year-old nerd who thinks he knows it all, but some fat, bald-headed Henry Kissinger type who plays religious head games like chess. Whoever it is that takes pleasure in denigrating the word, be advised, God is not mocked. And however you slice it, those who gleefully twist scriptures to the detriment of our race will meet the same fate as those who impersonate Israel. By now, any honest person should recognize the bold principles of God's racial laws so that the context of any racial circumstance revolves around it being good or evil. One need not depend upon spurious sources that rationalize race mixing to know that race mixing is condemned by God. There is no debate. Race mixing is not Christian. Let's now turn our attention to the foul stream of citations manipulated for the purpose of falsely interpreting something as race mixing. Let us chase the change agents out of our national temple without getting too muddy. The most popular exploitations, and I'm sure you've heard these before, are that Moses was married to a Negro, that Joseph was married to a Negro. The book of Ruth is a story of a mixed-race marriage. The Ethiopian eunuch was an African Negro. Rahab was a Canaanite. Or how about all races evolved from Adam? Or that Christ descended from more than one mixed-race marriage? Or how often do we hear Semites were a dark-skinned race? That all descendants of Ham were a dark-skinned race? And the bride in the Song of Solomon was a Negro. Well, there's many lesser used arguments, but the point of this listing is that they're all dead wrong. I'm not going to dive in head first in this pigsty just to appease the sophistry of swine, but I'm going to take a look at the one at the top of the list because it's the one most commonly used to convince simpletons that the Bible promotes race mixing. Common sense dictates that Christian racialists, such as me and others, would not be of this persuasion if something as hypocritical as Moses marrying a Negro, or Jesus was a Jew, or the more absurd notion that Christianity itself owes its existence to Jewry were true. It is not only gratuitously insulting, it's the chutzpah of spiritual warfare. They say Moses was married to a Negro with a straight face and sprinkle a little bit of Judaized information on this idea for confirmation. They create a controversy from Numbers 12:1 with one word, Ethiopian. With immaculate fidelity of scholarship, I hope I read that sarcastically enough, they convey the idea that the Ethiopia of today is the same as it was 3,500 years ago. Why anyone would presuppose that demographics remain static over millenniums is mind-boggling. But the educational system today is well known for dumbing down the next generation. Kids can't locate California on a map these days. So please restrain your laughter and applause until I'm finished here. You've heard the saying that a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. Well, that's because it never gets beyond half-truths, which mislead and confuse. We often find defective scholarship in early translations which have become accepted as doctrine. Then someone comes along saying God is a fairy tale and they're hostile to Christianity and they try to continue the curse of a mistranslation. Well, this is like giving a monkey a loaded gun. Christians should never allow non-Christians to teach them what the Word of God is all about. We know what it's all about, and it's about race and keeping it pure. Let's get back to Moses and his wife. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Well, now, any concordance, such as Strong's, translates Ethiopian as being number 3569, meaning a Cushite, a resident of the Cush, or a descendant of Cush. Well, who was Cush? Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Genesis 10:6 informs us that the sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Phut, and Canaan. Noah and his wife were both racially pure white people, so their children were naturally the same. Only Canaan and his descendants were cursed. The theory that Moses married a Negro is totally dependent upon the speculation that God's curse upon Ham turned him black into a Negro. This is pure Talmudic fantasy to explain where blacks came from. The curse, according to the Bible, is that they would be servants to Shem and Japheth. And we know from secular history that the black race was in existence long before the days of Noah. Now, this does not mean that the Canaanites did not mix their seed. They did. Mizraimites, meaning Egyptians, obviously settled in Egypt. And we know from Egyptian art of fine portraiture and sculpture that they were a white people until they eventually intermarried with non-whites. Now, the Cushites settled in two major areas. One was south of the Sudan in Africa, and the other was in eastern Mesopotamia, where in times past was part of the Babylonian Empire. Both areas were settled by white people. But of course, the proximity to Negroes in Africa was a geographical reality. This land of Cush in Mesopotamia flourished about 1500 BC during the time of Moses. The Exodus from Egypt occurred in 1486 BC. Please note that there is nothing in the Bible that suggests or even hints that Moses was in the land known today as Ethiopia or any other place where Negroes lived. Now, when Pharaoh heard this thing, the saying by Moses of an Egyptian, a white man, who was beating a Hebrew Israelite, a white man, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. Now, Midian was a son of Abraham, and his descendants became Cushites, living in the valleys of the Tigris and Euphrates. They were racially pure white people. It was this time of Moses' exile that he married the daughter of the priest of Midian. He gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter, and she bore him a son. Well, there wouldn't have been any Negro priest in this land of Cush. His name was Reuel, meaning friend of God, and sometimes is referred to as Jethro, and means His Excellency, a title of respect. So who in their right mind is going to believe that a Negro savage was the highest-ranking priest under the order of Melchizedek priesthood in an all-white society? Please, no giggling. How silly to imagine that Moses violated God's law by race mixing and therefore into the family of a Negro priest, which could only be the worship of a false god. How foolish and unlikely it is to suppose that this former prince of Egypt raised in the royal household of Pharaoh as an adopted son, knowing that the Egyptians considered the Negroes as wild animals to be killed on sight if they were not a slave in chains working in the fields, would them be fit to lead God's covenant people out of bondage? The son of royalty would not take a wife of the Negro, Cush, in Africa or anywhere else. At this time, he learned the topography of the wilderness territory that Israel would soon be led into by him. It was while Moses was guarding his flocks of his father-in-law, God appeared to him in the burning bush at Mount Horeb, which was not in Africa. This is when God gave Moses the commission to go to Egypt and to set his people free. Once there, he taught them their proud heritage as God's people Israel, and that they must keep their race pure. How could Moses have been one of the great heroes of faith if he committed the abominable sin of race mixing that brought shame, disgrace, and chastisement to the Israel people throughout his history? How could Moses have been chosen of God to oppose the false gods of Egypt after spending 40 years with a Negro family worshiping a false god? But there will be those who try to convince you that the square peg fits into the round hole. Are we to believe that God would bless Moses and his offspring to be workers in the tabernacle when the word states, "A bastard shall not enter the congregation"? Now let us confront the canard of Miriam and Aaron accusing Moses of race mixing. It is true that Moses married a woman who was not an Israelite. However, she was not only white, but a descendant of Abraham, the great-grandfather of Jacob Israel. So this matter of Zipporah can't be used as a justification for race mixing. Moses did not marry outside of his race. He married outside of his geographic location of national Israel. His brother Aaron and his sister Miriam taunted Moses about this marriage outside their territorial parameters of Israel's culture. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Oops. If Moses was such a big bad race mixer, don't you think that would be the accusation? "Ah, Lord, we have a major problem here with Moses breaking your law and race mixing." Is that what we hear? No. What we hear here is sniveling mixed with jealousy and murmuring covetousness. God then calls the two on the carpet. It would seem that if Moses was in fact a race mixer, the burning bush would turn him into toast. That is, he would be the one who is reprimanded. He is not. God called forth Aaron and Miriam and began to teach them a lesson about respect for a man of God. Now, the Antichrist racialists should consider doing the same thing by shutting their mouths and opening their eyes. Don't just read the Bible with a preconceived notion and animosity. Study the word to show yourself approved of God. God referred to Moses as a man who is faithful in all my house. Now I ask you, brothers and sisters, if Moses was such a race traitor, would the creator of our race call him faithful? If Moses was guilty, why was Miriam punished? Moses was a great white leader. He planted the seed of truth and set the example. It is incomprehensible for any religion to have a guy that preaches one thing to the people and then goes out and does just the opposite. He wrote the first five books of the Old Testament in which the people were clearly warned against miscegenation. Moses was not only faithful, he was honorable in not violating God's law of racial integrity. Throughout the scriptures, there is a principle of consistency and continuity. Any honest examination will prove that. God made no exceptions for anyone. The truth stands and delivers. All of these other contentions about race mixing in the Bible can be answered with diligent study and a willing spirit to learn. I will not waste my time spoon-feeding arrogant, scripture-twisting devils who know nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings like Moses marrying a Negro, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. The Christian identity movement is not a denomination. And I'm but one voice among many. People come into our movement with their denominational baggage or no bags at all. But the one thing which we speak in unison is who we are and why we're here. Well, let me make one thing perfectly clear. We are fed up with the Jewish tag. No matter how many times we explain the error of this indictment, there are adversaries who persist in this propaganda. I've answered the charge of race mixing in the Bible and refuted those who would change the truth of God into a lie. Because, you see, there are individuals who would throw water on your flames, who emasculate the men of God, who worship themselves as gods and care not what we say. To such people, debate among yourselves as to how you can destroy Christian identity. You will fail. I have completed my duties of contending for the faith against Antichrist racialists or perhaps Jewish lackeys, according to Proverbs 26:4, which says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And we need to be aware of one more insidious cancer that infects Christian identity from within. That's a feud going on among our dual seed line kinfolk. Apparently, there are tares reaching full maturity and can be identified from their own words and deeds, espousing universalism. They are playing a dangerous game of racial inclusion, while at the same time denying it. They can deny their own words. But that does not change the fact that they have advocated race mixing. It's a sad commentary that certain people have crept in unawares and people trusted that they were Christian. My advice is don't be entangled with tares, for the harvest is near approaching. Come out of Babylon. Don't be a part of the sin of universalism, because a plague is coming for those who do. Only a fool would now try to debate this message. For those who don't get it, you may now laugh. Laugh with God when the heathen rage and universalist imagine a vain thing. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. For those who still just don't get it, you bring shame, disgrace, chastisement to the white race from such miserable excuses. I withdraw myself. Let this message then be a standard raised up against them. Shake off the dust from your feet, kinsmen, as a testimony against them. Don't let anybody tell you race mixing is Christian. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. Amen.